This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Roll into hour number three. Bart Scott, what does that mean?
The power hour.
Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. That never doesn't make me laugh. Like, we go so over the top with it.
It makes me feel like SNL. Pump you up.
It's people who are listening are like, are they literally like just flexing while they do this? Like, we just get crazy with it. So, yes, it's pow hour time for us. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance.
That's a beautiful setup, too.
Yes, it is. My family's protected is yours. Life insurance cannot wait. I'd like you to take a minute, get a free quote from SelectQuote. They've been helping people get a policy to fit their exact needs at the best price for over 35 years. So go to SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com. Yeah, speaking of power, speaking of protection.
All he did was run the power. Coward. Quit calling the power. I'm tired of hitting Bussy. Stop it. Willie Parker, stop it. Stop
Hall
running the power.
Famer we have on the show right now on the Goodyear Hotline, Alan Faneca, joining us right now. How we doing, sir?
We're doing great, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, man, congratulations on all the accolades. Well-deserved. Should have been in the Hall of Fame. I'm so tired of this guard bias within the Hall of Fame. Steve Hutchinson should be right behind you. Congratulations, man. I know you're going to be excited to spend that time with your family and friends and get honored at the place that you called home the longest, Pittsburgh.
I am, man. I'm looking forward to it, man. You know, it's definitely a special moment when you get in Canton, but I've been looking forward to this. You get back to the home crowd and the home stadium. You know, there's not many things that we miss as players when we step away from the game. The locker room, and for me, the second thing I always say is there's no other job in the world where you can line up and there's 80,000 people either cheering for you or against you. And so I look forward to going in there and with Heinz Field and feeling the love.
Just a question. Who decided and what year did you guys start playing sticks in like the third quarter?
Oh, Renegade?
And, yeah, Renegade. Wait. Because like I used to look at our quarterbacks like, oh, just punt the damn ball, man. Why are you scared, man? It's just a song. It's just a song.
It is. I'm trying to remember. There was one comeback. I think it was the Cleveland comeback in the playoffs. I'm not sure of the year. We played them in the first round, and I think they played it, and that's when it began, and it just stuck from that point forward.
Bart, we play it sometimes, and Bart, you see him just start to shiver.
It's like
just starts to shiver. That's the truth.
It's like one of those things, right? Like when you go to certain stadiums, you can expect certain things, and it's something that you know when you play it. You know whether even because you're the opponent, you kind of sing it and you try and use it to pump yourself up.
Nope.
Just like when you guys used to come in and Ray used to do a dance, y'all turn his back like y'all feel it. Y'all know this tight. Like you got to respect it. It's like one of those things, like that's pretty damn cool. One of my favorite places to ever play in.
Yeah, Alan Faneca joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, the Hall of Famer who will be honored Sunday night. It's a very important game too for the Steelers. Steelers Seahawks on Sunday Night Football. And they will celebrate Faneca and his Hall of Fame induction on Sunday night. So with that in mind, let's talk about the Steelers, a team that you spent 10 years with, won a Super Bowl with as well. Where do you see them? Because there's been this debate up until last week, and maybe you know rumors of Ben Roethlisberger's demise have been grossly overstated or not. Where do you see them right now? Are they in that transition period because of where he is physically and also obviously in age?
You know, I don't know if you call it a transition period, but, you know, I think before this last week's game, people had him dead and buried. And I think you saw him go out there and play, and you probably saw what you're going to see throughout the rest of the season is you're going to see they're going to be around that 500 ball club. They're going to try and steal a couple games and sneak into the playoffs. It's probably more who they truly are.
And with that being said, what is Ben's legacy? Because you had Ben very young. And you watched him when he was just a one-read guy, take off, scramble, backyard football, to like being an assassin within the pocket. I think sometimes we don't give him the credit that he deserves because, much like Lamar Jackson, it doesn't look like what we're traditionally used to seeing pocket quarterbacks. He has his own style. It wasn't because he was so elusive. It's just because he can swat and endure so much punishment to deliver the football down the field.
You know, I think a lot of the time he gets overshadowed, you know, the Peyton Mannings of the world, the Tom Brady's, you know, he got overshadowed and overlooked. It's one of those things, I think, when you look at his full body of work and where he came from and what he was able to do till you start to appreciate it as an outsider, not being from Pittsburgh or a former Steeler. But he has had a tremendous career. He's had a Hall of Fame career. He'll get in for sure. It's definitely near the end of the line, I feel.
All right, with that in mind, let's now switch to what we're seeing in the league, which is the, you know, continuing growth of young quarterbacks more and more in the league at this point. What of, let's say, the rookie quarterbacks? There's five of them, or at least there's six now with Davis Mills getting a start in Houston. Which one stands out to you the most? Which one do you like the most?
When I watch a Chargers game, it's not too hard to get excited about Justin Herbert. It's hard for me to say Herbert because I'm from South Louisiana, and that reads Hebert in my mind. But Justin Herbert does a great job out there on the field and commands the presence like he's been in the league way longer than he has been.
Now you've seen this league change, right? When you were in there and you're in your heyday, it was really about a yard and cloud of dust. You know, why do you think that these wide receivers are so great and their impact is so sudden now opposed to back in the day when, you know, it was all about, you know, the running back?
You know, they're definitely getting more opportunities. I think that's probably the biggest reason, you know. Analytics step in. You know, we can chuck the ball. We can, you know, we can get 3 yards in a cloud of dust, or we can try and get, 10 to 20, 30, 40, you know, and take it that way. So I think there's definitely a lot more opportunity for receivers in today's game.
We're talking with Alan Faneca, the Hall of Famer, of course. Is it harder to be an offensive lineman in today's game because of the fact that there is a lot more down the field kind of stuff where you have to hold it? A lot of people say that offensive linemen prefer, especially a guy like you and your success with it, prefer to run block, and it's a lot harder to pass protect. Is it harder today to be an offensive lineman?
I don't know if it's any harder. It's probably a little bit less fun with less run game. Just like you said, you know, we enjoy being on the tack. You know, I enjoyed pulling right and nailing Bart and, just having fun with that. So, it's probably not as much fun. You don't get as many opportunities to do things like that. Pass protection is a little bit of a passive aggressive, and that's just what it is. And, you know, it's honing your craft and getting good at it and continually just doing it. You know, it's not really as fun as going downhill and playing a little smash mouth football.
Where do you fall on these taunting rules? And like, you know, like now it just seems like you can't really show emotion or be able to celebrate without getting one of these taunting penalties. You know, do you think that, you know, it should be a happy medium, or are you cool with where the rules are right now?
You know, I've seen a couple go ways that I thought they should have. And then, you know, it seems like sometimes the refs just, it's on their mind and they see something that's sort of close and they pull the flag. I'm a little bit of both. I see what they're trying to get to and trying to get to the younger generation and set a good example. I'm coaching high school football, so I kind of see it in the high school game. So I understand it a little bit on that level. You know, for me personally, the one rule I would like to see come into play is the cheap shot after the receiver or whoever's got the ball crosses the touchdown line and they just get drilled for no reason. Like, he's in, the play is over with, the whistle is dead, there's no more clock running, he's 1 foot into the end zone and all of a sudden he gets drilled for no reason is one I would definitely like to see brought out.
Should we put the flopping rule? Because I was watching Monday Night Football.
Oh, Doyle?
And Doyle punches him in the head, and then he gets up, he gets pushed, and he does the Manu Ginobili Fosbury flop.
Oh, he did across. CP3.
Should that be reviewable? And if it's proven that you flop, that you should get not only fined, but you should get the penalty and add it on the extra five?
I think we could do a whole show on fouls and penalties that that players think should be called. Whether it just should be – I think they don't always need to be, like, penalties or yards. Just acknowledge, like, man, right, you're just kind of a jerk right there. That was unnecessary.
And we're talking, by the way, with Alan Faneca, the Hall of Fame offensive lineman who – I mean,
He's been friend and foe. He's been –
Well, I'm thinking about – well, we'll get to that in a minute. But I'm just – we're talking about penalties and all that stuff. Did you even have 20 penalties in your career? Like, did you – how many penalties did you have in your career? Because you were one of the cleanest offensive linemen of your time.
I'm not sure. I probably did not have 20 penalties if I had to guess. It's part there's an elusiveness to it. You got to know when to let go. You got to know where the ref's looking. And, you got to be a student of the game.
Right. Sleight of hand. That's what it matters. All right. So, you of course, everybody knows you for your days with the Steelers, Super Bowl champ, 10 years there in Pittsburgh. But – Some of us in New York also remember when you wore green in New York with the Jets and had a young quarterback certainly there as well, and also were teammates with Bart Scott. So you've got a – and also in the AFC North going up against Bart Scott in when he's with the Ravens. So you've got to have some good stories about him because – as we've learned, we know. Well, Bart told the story about how Warren Sapp one time grabbed him and said, "Who the hell even are you?" Because he was doing a lot of chirping.
Most disrespectful thing ever happened.
Warren Sapp, and the best part of this was when we had Warren on the show, and I told him the story, and he doesn't remember that.
Yeah, that's how insignificant. I was like a piece of lint. I start off as a special team player. Man. It's okay.
Yeah, man. You know what, man? Bart did talk a lot, and definitely. You know, those Ravens-Steelers games are just historic. That could be a 30-for-30 all by itself right there. Right. But, you know, Bart's a great competitor, and it was always fun, man. Always enjoyed the mental mind games, right, the kind of the mental gymnastics of the game. You know, the talking's not always happening at the end of the play. It's going on during the play, the trickery, the messing with each other. Was just always a fun part of the game for me.
When we talk about the young quarterbacks, and you had that experience with Mark Sanchez, you also had it with obviously Ben early on in his career. We look more at the offensive line than ever because they're inexperienced, right? And we've heard the Jets offensive lineman, one in particular, say, you know, he can't hold the ball. As long as he's holding, he's making it difficult for us. Is that the challenge with a young quarterback when you're an offensive lineman? Is just understanding that he doesn't know enough yet, and so a lot of pressure is going to be on you to protect him?
Yeah, I think when you have a young quarterback, you know, you're definitely asked a lot as an offensive line, and the expectations are higher, and you're just not always going to get those answers that you want. The what you see on the field is, you know, not what you're really hoping for as a general manager or head coach, right? It's, you know, it's wishful thinking sometimes, and you know that's it's not fair to the offensive line as well, right? You're getting what you invested into them, right? So you invested in the quarterback, but did you invest in your offensive line and give them the best opportunity to perform and be at their best? And usually the answer is no. And, you know, that's the result you get when you've got a young quarterback that's getting, you know, sack records and whatnot, not being able to go out there and perform.
Who's the best in the game right now at offensive line? Who's the one guy you've watched in this league and you're like, that guy's the best?
You know, I love watching Quentin Nelson, man. He plays the game like it's supposed to be played. Definitely kind of a throwback player and kind of nasty. And definitely in my mind when I watch him, man, I'm like, that's how the game is supposed to be played.
And you know what's crazy? Like, we don't have the dominant tackles like we used to have. I remember when tackles were just so massive. Like, they don't make them like they used to. I guess Becton is like the blast from the past when you think about the Walter Joneses. You think about – even, you know, you play with Starks. Starks was a huge dude. Jonathan Ogden. You know, you think about, you know, Willie Rolfe. You think about all the big, massive guys. Seems like now these guys are eating vegan diets and they're going to play basketball and trying to be like small forwards or something like that. But when you look at this kid, Rashawn Slater, right – I think if anybody should win Offensive Rookie of the Year and be a lineman, it should be this kid because we don't talk about Myles Garrett getting shut down last week. He shut down Chase Young. And he's the reason why Justin Herbert is able to be so dominant. I can't remember a tackle coming in the league and being so dominant early in their career because Jonathan Ogden played guard his first year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely. That's a huge factor of what's going on out there in L.A. And, you know, that's the things that need to be talked about. You know, they've got a good thing going out there, and everybody's talking about Justin Herbert. And, you know, you got to talk about the guys that are protecting him, giving him the time.
And that's obviously the big part. When you have a young quarterback, then the next step is to protect that young quarterback, and that's certainly what they're doing there. Hey, it's great to catch up.
I just tell him you're welcome as well? Because if we wouldn't have knocked Tommy Maddox out the game, Ben Roethlisberger wouldn't have never got to start, and you wouldn't have won a Super Bowl probably. So you're welcome.
I don't know how to respond to that. Yeah. I'm definitely not going to say thank you, but until the next time.
Until the next time, indeed. Alan Faneca, thanks so much. Congratulations again.
Hey, Alan, one of those instances when you knock him out of the game, you're like, no, pick him back up. We sorry, Tommy. You okay? You want some water?
Alan Faneca from the Goodyear Hotline, again, the Hall of Famer. And you could tell he's got stories about you, but they're not for the air.
Yeah,
I think he made that pretty clear. Right? 800-919. No, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. We'll get your calls here as we continue with the NFL discussion. And Bart, you know, let's discuss something that is not yet here, but certainly coming up, and it's now starting to become you know, these the rumors begin, the conversation begin, and you've talked before the season about certain names that you could see on the move before the November 2nd trade deadline for the NFL. Now, we've seen moves already. Stephon Gilmore has been traded, and C.J. Henderson, actually both those players went to the Panthers. The Panthers very active in trying to shore up their defense. You know, who do you see as the next names? Now, Jeremy Fowler has a story on ESPN.com today where he went through a couple of possibilities before the trade deadline. Now, it might be a little early, but it never is because the rumors are already, of course, beginning. Denver's got corners, extra corners. There could be teams in the market for that. The Jets and Marcus May certainly look like they're heading in opposite directions, and Marcus May could be on the move as well. Another safety that the Jets would move on from. Nick Foles still there in Chicago, and once Andy Dalton's healthy, which should be pretty soon, why still have Nick Foles on your roster if you're Chicago? So there's a lot of different names, and one more I'll give you too that he mentions in this story, and that's Zach Ertz. And you said you could see Zach Ertz being on the move.
Yeah.
They ended up making up, and in fact, he and Sirianni have really gotten along very well. And what do the Eagles decide to do, however, going forward? Because they still aren't sure what they're going to do financially. He does not want to take a pay cut. So what are some names that you can see being on the move and some names to watch here as the rumors will start to begin?
Well, I see a lot of some guys that can be on the move because, you know, teams are going to have to be proactive. And I think this is different from any other year with the extra game, and sometimes you're going to lose some stars. I can look at a guy like Odell Beckham being on the move because they can't figure it out with Odell and trying. He's only had 9 receptions, and he's played 2-3 games, and it just seems to not work right with that system, and it doesn't work right with Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield is always a better quarterback with Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry is out. You talk about a guy that's near the end. You know, all his guaranteed monies is gone. I think I can see Odell Beckham going somewhere to a contender to try and win. You think about, you know, some of the teams that needs a receiver, you know, downfield to help them out. I mean, Kansas City's kind of got to be out of ammunition to go try and improve their roster, but they do recognize that they need some help because they wouldn't have went out and tried to go get Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
Marlon Mack as well, you know, he's been
requested a
trade because he's the third guy. You think about Hines, you think about Taylor, they're the mainstays, and he's kind of the guy that's left holding the bag. So you look at teams that needs a running back. Kansas City, again, has been rumored with him because, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been injured.
He got hurt again, right?
They have to start trying to run the football as well. I mean, I look at him as maybe somebody that could go to the Ravens as well. But, you know, it's hard when you see, like, AFC helping AFC out. Every once in a while it works, but you don't see that.
But you're going to pay a premium if you're a competitor. That's probably true.
Exactly. So guys are going to be pushing it all in. I mean, Zach Ertz is definitely a guy because it's almost like basketball, getting guys with expiring contracts. So, like, you just pick up, you know.
And you're a bad team, so you're getting draft capital. Well, the Eagles right now are still, I mean.
Stop. Nobody in that division outside of Dallas Cowboys probably not going to go anywhere.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you can get a guy like Zach Ertz, because he's not their first tight end. Here's their second. I can see O.J. Howard, too. You know, if you think about
that, that's a very
O.J.'s really young. And if you can get O.J. Howard because Gronk's going to come
even Brady's second favorite target as a tight end there.
Exactly. So, yeah, Cameron Brake and Gronk could come back from the ribs. And I can see maybe somebody making a move for O.J. Howard because they're not going to pay him, and eventually they're going to have to start, you know, paying more guys on that roster some more money, as a lot of guys are on 1-year deals, and you might want to have to do some extensions.
Now, what about – now, I know this team has been great, and this is another name you brought up before the season even started, and that's Chandler Jones, who had an unbelievable week 1.
I can't – yeah.
They can't possibly, right? But he wanted out.
But they need him to win a championship.
I agree.
Right? So I can't really see them doing that, you know what I mean? But, man, if he was made available – I mean, a guy like Khalil Mack, listen, they're not going to win anything with him. And, like, listen, they're resetting with a guy like
– Really?
Like, yes. Like, the same reason why the Raiders got rid of him, because you're not going to win with him. And right now you're paying him so much money. If you can get some of that draft equity that you lost for him, if you can get a first-round draft pick for somebody –
But don't you need a strong defense when you have such a young – like, again, Mark Sanchez, Jets.
Well,
like,
they have a good young defense already. Right, they have a good young defense. They let Floyd go, but this dude's making like probably $100 million, and you're winning nothing with them. Right, so like you think about, I mean, this team is not really ready to win for another year or so. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, at that point, you know, Khalil Mack is going to get a little older, and at some point, like, it's a law of diminished returns because I'm sure his stuff was front-loaded, and the longer he's on the team, the roster, his salary cap goes up, and maybe you can change him one-for-one for somebody with a young pass rusher, for somebody that's ready to win now. I can see somebody trying to get rid of Khalil Mack and his gaudy contract. You know what I mean? You think about people. Everybody needs pass rush, and they're willing to give it up at a premium.
Yeah, especially, again, if you're making that
Von
push.
Von Miller. If Denver collapses, if Denver collapses, they might want to do the right thing by Von Miller. Listen, Von Miller's, been in the league probably like over 10 years now. Like, we saw, come on, DeMarcus Ware used to be on the Cowboys. Remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And they let him go, and he went to Denver and won a championship. So, right now, if you can trade and you can get a second-round draft pick for or even a first-round draft pick for Von Miller,
it sounds like
knowing that
more
you have Chubb there already, that he's his future replacement. So, if you can get guys like that, but I think we're a couple of weeks away before teams kind of throw in the towel and say, hey, we're not as good as we thought we were.
Yeah, and I think really it's more like Kyle Fuller and Bryce Callahan, you know, sort of the two players that I think that would be considered because according to Fowler, they were getting calls on both those guys.
Everybody needs corners right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's one area that, of course, of a concern. And they, you know, the one thing that they have is they have the depth there at corner. All right, rankings reaction brought to you by Wendy's. Get a sausage or bacon, egg, and Swiss croissant. Man, that sounds good right now.
Mm.
Just $1.99 at Wendy's during breakfast hours only. Limited time only. Price of participation may vary. We'll get your calls 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Here's a question for you Knick fans. Are you relieved that on that night in July in 2019, the KD and Kyrie picked the Nets for obvious reasons? I'll tell you what I think about that next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Kyrie's made it clear that he has a choice in this matter.
At the end of the day, I would still ultimately try to respect his opinion because we are in unprecedented times. The lack of communication is the part that would send me off into a different stratosphere.
Oh, mama, really? Really?
Look at you shake.
No, I didn't shake because they only play it when the offense is there. So I'm like, just punt the ball. We got this.
You don't realize that. The minute you heard the first note of this song, you don't know what your eyes were like. Like you had that recall.
No, no, it's not.
No, you got a little shook.
No, it's not. It's like, oh, you won't smoke? Knock you in.
It's the scream that gets you, right?
I want to tear you apart. And your friend, too.
Listen, so this is Renegade. This is what they play.
It was never no smoke, no.
That part. It's the scream that gets you.
No, it's really like the bass. I don't know what kind of 6x9s they had. Yeah. So could you imagine the stadium system?
Yeah.
It's just like you can fit. It like makes stuff shake.
Yes.
It's like they had those. It's like, oh man, you're looking at Anthony Wright like, oh.
What is Anthony Wright doing?
Anthony Wright looking like, oh, damn. Just listen. I am not exaggerating. After that comes some exotic blitz, they haven't showed all day, and you know your quarterback about to get his back beat in, or if it's a run, it's some type of run blitz, and somebody about to get smoked. So it's like, look, man, let's just stop the fumble because the last thing I need is a fumble where we got to get in the field on our turf. Just punt. Listen, punt. They only play it once. Just punt the damn ball and let the defense handle it because we ain't scared of nothing.
It's
we
so
knew
funny.
The dog was scared.
The face you made.
No.
What is he feeling right there? I want to get out of here. Like
I am not exaggerating.
Sticks had no idea that their song would impact. Just like it's like Metallica and Enter Sandman had no idea it would one day inspire like an entire stadium to go
Phil
crazy.
Collins.
In the air tonight,
I am not exaggerating.
Amazing.
I can remember like it was yesterday. Anthony Wright, a.k.a. Anthony Wrong, was starting because whoever the starter was hurt. He was a backup. We used to tease Anthony Wright all the time because even though he had a bunch of money, he always had bootleg stuff. So this dude would walk around with a bootleg Michael Jordan jersey, but Jordan's name was too high on the jersey. It was like on his neck, so we called him A-Wrong. His name was Anthony Wright, so we called him A-Wrong because he was wrong for us. But whatever. He was our teammate, and we rallied behind him. So we are playing Pittsburgh, and he's starting. So Deion Sanders is right here, right? He always lays his outfit out, so you got to make sure you don't step on his clothes because he got his cleats at the bottom. He got his socks. Then he has his pants and his jersey, like a dead chalked out body.
My daughter Callie does that in the morning with her school uniform.
So it's like a chalked out body. So they over there, me and Suggs in the corner. And then Deion sitting up here stretching Cordell Stewart. Like, what the hell are you? It's like the weirdest scene. Anthony Wright is over there with, I don't know what type of grease he got on because it's cold. So maybe he's putting the grease, the lube on. You know, we put like this, it's called something heat. It's like a cream you put on. But he all shined up. And we just sitting there, man, getting our mind right, you know. And here we go. Anthony Wright goes, "I ain't afraid of nobody." We say, "Oh, damn." Say, "I ain't gonna let no man come in my house." He's
like, "What is this? Is this one of those him?"
Yes. He like, "I ain't gonna let no man come in my house, butt naked, making love to my wife." We say,
"What?
Oh, this.
Where did that come from?" He just.
We say, "This dude's scared as hell." Me and Suggs look at each other, hey. We by ourselves today, boys. Like, whenever the defense knew that it was going to be, we better make sure we are great, not just good, great. This dude went all baby boy on us, man. Ain't let no man come in my house drink my Kool-Aid. We say, oh, my God. Coach, I need to get paid double today because, man, we're going to have to hold the Steelers to 3 points.
Let's go Wildcat this whole game, please. Where's Cordell? Can we go slash at least?
Drink all my Kool-Aid. We say, dog. This dude's scared.
What a moment that certainly is.
And he got his brains beat in that game.
He brought to you by Goodyear.
What we already knew.
with you for every mile on the road to greatness, Goodyear, more driven. All right, so I tease the question, and this is Winthrop, and he loves to tweak me a little bit, right? So here's the thing. If you're a Knicks fan, this whole Kyrie story goes on. If you're a fan of the Knicks, if you're a Boston Celtics fan too, maybe as well, because remember, there was a time where Irving said, I want to be here, right, for the rest of my career if you'll have me. There was a famous moment. Celtics fans all went crazy. They all just cheered. They loved it. And then they couldn't wait to get rid of him. It's true. So, but the Knicks, the story goes, July 2019, you know, everybody saying it, KD to the Knicks, all that stuff. And then it ended up, Kyrie went to Brooklyn and KD went with him. That's the reality of what happened there. Kyrie was from New Jersey, always wanted to play, just loved the Nets as a kid, and this is what he wanted, and KD decided, I'm going to go with him. So with that in mind, as a Knicks fan, are you now looking back saying, man, did we avoid what would be a mess right now? Right? Because you could, I mean, look, it's already, you know, for all those guys in Brooklyn, for Aaron Harris, or for Sean Marks, you know, for Steve Nash, I mean, this is obviously the last thing you want to deal with, right? It's a lot going on. But if this was the Knicks, it's like 10 times the drama that it would be just because that's just how it is around the Knicks.
Yeah, but you would deal with it if it brought you KD. Like
Where I'm going, because I said it at the time, and I'll say it again. You still got Kevin Durant, and you got James Harden. So you could say what you want, and I want everybody to understand that our whole thing here was not about Kyrie the basketball player. It wasn't even about Kyrie and, you know, not wanting to get the vaccine and all that stuff until the story comes out that it's not about that. That's a completely different thing altogether. Mm-hmm. This is just the basketball sense. 100% I'll take it. Yeah. And if you're a fan who says, I'm glad I avoided that, you're out of your damn mind. Yeah. I love this Knicks team. I think they're going to be very good. They're so deep. They've got a lot of great – they have a lot of guys that are easy to root for, a lot of hard workers, a lot of gym rats, everyone sort of in the same mold, just like Tom Thibodeau. It really is the first time in a long time this is a group of players that wear a Knick uniform that you can say, I like all these guys, right? So I'm not – this is not about their success. They're going to be a good team, guys. They're going to be good. But how are you in your right mind saying to yourself, boy, I'm glad we didn't get Kevin Durant. Right. No one in their right mind is saying that. I will never say that. So if you're telling me that I got to put up with him not playing, but I still have Kevin Durant and maybe also James Harden.
I still got two of the top five players. I'll go to war with that.
Sign me up.
Right. I'll go to war with Kevin Durant, James Harden, and two cones and think I feel good about it.
Yeah. So it's nice to not be the team that has all the drama and the team that everybody is, all the intensity of the media coverage and the scrutiny and everything else. That's nice, I guess. But I still see Brooklyn as the favorite to win the championship. And I'd like that too one day. Now, it has nothing to do with the current Knicks team. Because I also said at the time, Bart, that when that happened, I said, hey, if you're the Knicks, you better be careful. Because you could lose a whole generation of fans if the Nets end up having, if they win a championship, if they have success. Kids aren't going to care about historically, most New Yorkers root for the Knicks. They don't care about that. You see how kids root.
Yeah, non-committal.
You will lose a whole generation of fans. But what did the Knicks do? They brought in Leon, Roy West, Tom Thibodeau. And they quickly turned this thing around to where this is a really likable team. That is so important because now with this going on, you can balance it saying, well, but look at the Knicks. They're stable, they run well, and they've got a very competitive team. That's all good. But at the time, man, it was a little dicey.
Yeah, and when you look at it now, what the Knicks have done is made themselves cool. It made themselves relevant where
stable, respectable, right. Competitive. And this is a good team.
And if Kemba can stay healthy,
right, it's very important.
And listen, they still may only finish fifth in the league, but without Kemba, without Paulo Francais, then they probably would only be
Evan Fournier. Is that who you meant by Paulo Francais?
Yeah, Paulo Francais. You know what I'm saying? They probably would only be they'd be eighth and fighting to get in because you look at what everybody's done in the Eastern Conference. But, now, eventually a star is going to want to come here. Eventually a guy like Bradley Beal or somebody's going to say, hey, I want to go play with the Knicks. I want to try and bring my own twosome with me and run it back my way. Not discrediting Julius Randle, but he's clearly, after the postseason last year, is not a one or two. He should be your third option.
No,
there's no problem in that.
Right. The Nets have the stars, and the stars win in this league. Yep. But the Knicks, who couldn't get stars, did it another way that you can win in this league, and that's with depth and talent.
Yeah.
And they have that. And that's why they're – hammer the over, everybody. Yeah. It's 41.5. Hammer it.
That's exactly what the Nets were a couple of years ago with Dinwiddie and LeVert and all those guys. And they made themselves attractive. They got their
attention. They're a lot ahead of
that team. But I'm just saying. I'm saying like that team that went to the postseason with Dinwiddie
but that was more last year. All I'm saying is that the Knicks are in a really good place. Mm-hmm. But don't fool yourself in thinking that it's better than what you're dealing with in Brooklyn. It's a headache, but that's a superstar that you got. So, as I mentioned, if Kyrie never plays another game for the Nets and KD and Harden go on to win a championship, Kyrie is still looked at as somebody that contributed greatly to that franchise. As crazy as it is to say, it is the truth. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So, we will continue with your calls. And something that is interesting, could Zach Wilson become Josh Allen someday? Robert Saleh isn't ruling it out. And I have some cold water. As Eminem said, hold your nose, here comes the cold water. For Bart Scott and his Detroit Tigre, wait till you hear about a team that they had in 2014 and where it all has gone.
Really?
Yeah, we're going to end the show that way. Bart and Hunt, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, if you missed any part of the show, you can find both hours, or all three, of Bart and Hahn posted daily as a podcast. It's available wherever you listen to your podcast. Just subscribe. You won't miss a damn thing. And we had some. I mean, Marcus Spears, Swagoo, great. Hall of Famer Alan Faneca, fantastic. Had Bart all shook talking about Renegade. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you, man. I know. Don't give me that look.
We came out the Gladiator, which even better. Whatever comes out of these gates, as long as we stick together, we're defeated. We ain't talking about the hype. Nobody puts on a better show than Baltimore. You come to Baltimore, you're going to get entertained by the videography.
Yeah. No. When we talked about Vegas last night, what they did with the Kraken, that was tremendous. I haven't seen it. You got to check the video out of what the Golden Knights did on the ice pregame with their Golden Knight mascot and the whole Kraken thing. It was phenomenal. And they do it before every game, but this one was really good. Bart, we were talking about it. So we do have the Haters Ball American League Championship Series, right? And you were asking a question because we were talking about your beloved Tigers. And I do have to give credit on Twitter, and I wish I don't have it up right now, but we were sent an example that said, hey, check out the 2014 Tigers. And these are all pitchers who pitched in the
lost them all
World Series. You ready? Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, Rick Porcello, Anibal Sanchez. All and starters right. in 2014. And David Price was also a starter on that team as well.
Ridiculous. Cabrera, I forgot the other hitter.
Dude, Robbie Ray was on this team.
You feel me? So for all those Yankee fans that want to complain and
I'm
talk
I'm really
crap,
sorry. Dave Dombrowski knew what he was doing, and he also knew to get the hell out. You guys
dude,
had
on,
it.
On pizza, man. Pizza's the most marked up food that you can buy. 30 cents to make a pizza. They charge you $12 for it. He was living good, Illich. Why you bring up a good thing, man? Write the tax. Luxury tax, I don't care.
I'm really sorry. But maybe the Jets have something in Zach Wilson. In fact, Robert Saleh thinks, just look back to Josh Allen.
It's not easy being a rookie quarterback. It never will be. It never has, never will be. If you look at, I'll just throw a guy out there, Josh Allen, who everyone wanted to throw away after his first 2 years. His first five games of his rookie year are damn near identical to what our young kid's going through. So he's going to get better. He's got tremendous arm talent. He goes through things the right way. And I know it can be frustrating sometimes when we're looking at some of these things. It's like, God, he should be making these throws. But it's going to start clicking.
First five games, Josh Allen struggled. This is what we like to do, though, historically. You know, Peyton Manning threw a lot of interceptions. I mean, this is all you can base it on, right? Is that stuff. Nobody is saying that Zach Wilson is a bum.
Right, but
nobody's saying that.
Why are we trying to compare him to Josh Allen? Josh Allen is 6'5 and can run through tackles. Like, that's a bad comparison. Just because stats max don't mean that he has the capability. Let's talk about somebody else that he can be comparable to. Like, stop it. Let's go with Aaron Rodgers or something like that.
Aaron Rodgers.
I'm just saying, body types, style of play. Like, it's like trying to compare like Kobe Bryant to Shaquille O'Neal. Like,
I don't know.
No, he's like Jordan.
I think it's just something that it's if you just feel like you want to just say, hey, look, this is, we've seen this before, give him time. And we're all saying, yeah, we're giving him time. But the problem is I think the biggest issue is the support system. He, Trevor Lawrence, top two picks in the draft, and both of them, you just wonder – you know, do they have the right support system around them to allow them to grow into what you expect them to be? Right?
Ditto.
That's your best input.
No, you got
of all.
Me all messed up.
I know,
man,
I got you upset because of the Tiger thing. I'm really sorry about that. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.